It was just a neat experience to take something that you're so passionate about that brings your personal joy, and now you can spread it, you know, through the world. And that's what I love about Pez. It's a plastic toy, but it's a lot about relationships, and I've made some amazing relationships.
Welcome to Cattlecast with Capital Area District Library's Executive Director, Scott Dimstra.
Welcome to a sweet episode of Cattlecast. For most people, Pez is a fun little candy dispenser and a shot of nostalgia. But for some, it is so much more. Recently, Pez has made big news thanks to a documentary, The Pez Outlaw, which hit Netflix top 10 charts. This incredible story follows local Michigan man, Steve Glue, as he traveled the world in pursuit of Pez, rocking the world of collectors and upsetting the Pez Corporation. With us today is Jim Blaine, another Michigan man featured in the documentary and a behind-the-scenes liaison for the film's directors. His collection of over 30,000 Pez is one of the largest in the world. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today on Cattlecast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And this is an audio podcast, but Jim showed us his collection, and it is amazing. So related to that, Jim, where did you get your passion for Pez?
Well, if I got to go back to the beginning, I actually started with a girl, believe it or not.
As many stories do.
Yeah. Right. When I first moved to Michigan, I was working, I was 19 years old, 20 years old, and I got my first job working at a gas station. This girl would come in and she'd babysit her little brother, and he was like a little troublemaker. And I told him, I said, hey, if you are acting right for your sister, I'll buy you a Pez dispenser. So every couple of days when they'd come in, I'd say, hey, has he been behaving? And she'd say yes, and I'd get him a Pez dispenser. And then eventually I did start dating the sister, and it was kind of a little collection between him and I. We obviously no longer together, but then it became something with my grandma. It was the perfect Christmas gift. You know, it wasn't too expensive. We call those people enablers. So, there's collectors and enablers, and, you know, they even have their own t-shirts. You know, they make their own Pez t-shirts that says Pez enabler. So it's usually the spouse or friend of, or So it started with a girl, and it ended up being a thing with my grandma. And believe it or not, the girl and I, you know, with the Pez convention we host, she's actually ordered packets. She hasn't come. She lives in Virginia mm-hmm. now, but we're still friends, you know. But it's just a crazy thing. And then it became so much more that it was, you know, kind of life consuming. But
well, I think all of us, we have a history with Pez, and we almost kind of think of our favorite Pez as well too. Do you have a favorite?
I do. I have it's called the skull. It's a Halloween skull. It came out, I think, in the 90s. And I don't know. So at a certain level of collecting, you start collecting multiples of the same one. It's called armying. One of the main reasons I have a lot of Pez, and I have a lot of new collectors, trading is a huge thing in the Pez community. So in order to trade, realistically, I don't need anything. You know, I have a lot of everything, you know? So, when new collectors would come in, I'd always say, hey, do you have any skulls? Cause chances are, cause it was a Halloween dispenser, they'd have some, mm-hmm. and I would trade them for something they need. And then I would just get a couple skulls from them so we could still trade. And then it just kind of became my thing. And to date, I have 3,460 of just that wow. one dispenser.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so I hold the quote unquote world record for the largest Pez army. And then I've just kind of been known as the guy who collects the skulls. But there's other collectors who have different armies and stuff. And so you go to convention, and it gives you something extra to hunt for at conventions.
Sure.
You know, because a lot of times when I go to a convention, if it's not more than $100, like I already own it. So, you know, to get that high end stuff, you know, you're spending hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, here's something I can pick up for 50 cents to a dollar, you know, and you feel good about your purchase when you're like, woohoo, I only spent 50 cents. But a lot of times, you know, go to a convention and people just come up to me and be like, hey, you know, and they kind of want to add one to the collection. But it's a good community of people, you know.
Yeah, sounds like it. And the documentary, The Pez Outlaw, is fantastic. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. How did you get involved in the documentary?
Well, we'll try to make a long story short. So in 2016, I decided I wanted to host my first Pez convention. So I talked to my wife, and she's like, hey, you know, I support you if that's what you want to do. Kind of goes a little bit to my testimony, being a Christian. I wanted to find a charity that was a Christian-based charity. So we reached out to a camp up in Boyne called Higher Ground at Lake Louise. And we wanted to work with this camp because they worked with kids that came from homes without a father in it. And we wanted to have the opportunity to send these kids to camp. So hosting a convention, there's kind of things that, the convention, almost all conventions have. One is working with a charity, and we do a charity night. And during that night, we raise money for whatever specific charity, ours being, you know, the one I just told you about. And then you have like speakers and a Saturday show to the general public. And you want to do something to make your convention a little different. So I reached out to Steve, you know, and I asked him if he'd be interested in coming and being a speaker. And if you've seen the movie, you know that he's very recluse and hasn't left his farm in, you know, 20 so years. And he politely turned me down, you know, which was a bummer. But I'm very well connected in the community because I've been around the community for a long time. Mm-hmm. Reached out to a couple other pez collectors and kind of told them that I'd love to have Steve there. And Tina Gonzalez, who's in the movie, and another gentleman by the name of John, who has since passed. But he reached out to Tina and said, hey, would love to have you come to the Michigan convention. You know, if I'm coming all the way to Michigan, I want you to come and see me, because they were friends from back in the 90s. And so he said, you know, I'll come and see you. And then she asked me if I'd be able to give him a stage to speak on. And I said, of course, you know, because that was, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do. After the first two conventions I did, Steve reached out to me and had some Pez, you know, that he was looking to sell. And I said, yeah, I'll buy them. I said, but here's the thing. I'll come up and buy them. I mean, it was 1,000 Pez dispensers, so it was a lot of Pez.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll come up to the farm and buy them. But a couple caveats, like I want you to autograph some things for me, because I had some articles that he did where I had the autograph of the author and I wanted his autograph on the same piece. And then I wanted some autographs for some donations for the convention and stuff. So I went up and I, you know, I spent the whole day up there and kind of heard his story. And, you know, he was trying to sell a story on eBay. I don't know if he was asking $1 million or whatever he was asking. And we just had a heart to heart. And I said, Steve, listen, man, like, I understand you want to sell your story, but the problem is it's going to be very hard to find somebody to buy it for $1 million and then spend $1 million plus to make the movie. Mm-hmm. I said, what you need to do is you need to find a director that you trust, or, you know, one that'll, you know, take the ride with you, take a little bit up front, then work a financial agreement on the back end or however that works. But that's the best way to do it. And he said, well, if I get a director, I'm going to have him contact you and you vet him out. And I said, sure, no problem. And I just kind of left the conversation at that. And then a couple months later, a director called me.
Wow.
And, you know, it was happened to be Brian. And he said, hey, you know, we talked to Steve. He asked us to call you. And can you tell us a little bit about what you know? And there's two camps. There's this Steve who knew Steve in the beginning camp, and mm-hmm. people who didn't know Steve, you know, collected after Steve. And I fall in that after camp. But I knew a lot of the key players because I, you know, I was, you know, privy to a lot of the information with the story. So long story short, I vetted him out. I called Steve. I said, hey, I think this is a good director. And Brian asked if he could come and, you know, meet me in person. He came out to my house and he said, hey, will you come on board and be, you know, like a liaison to the Pez side of everything? You know, mm-hmm. Steve obviously knew his story, but like getting people involved. And he said, you know, and he showed me, you know, told me his vision for the movie. And as you see in the movie, there's some factory scenes and he goes, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need Pez for these factory scenes. And kind of laughed because I mean, I own, you know, 300,000 Pez dispensers now. So I said, you know, don't worry about the Pez. I will take care of having the Pez. So when you said 30,000 Pez dispensers, that's how many Pez they took from my house to film the movie. I actually own about 300,000 Pez dispensers.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, 20 something years of collecting, but you know, and then after that, I built my relationship with both of them. Steve, you know, I was on set for a lot of things. And when it was the filming of, you know, a lot of the extras in the movie, we brought actual Pez collectors in for the movie. And again, I had the relationship with the Pez community and got to have a lot of my friends in the movie and stuff. And it was just a neat experience, you know, to take something that you're so passionate about that brings your personal joy, and now you can spread it, you know, through the world. And you know, that's what I love about Pez. It's a plastic toy, but it's a lot about relationships. And I've made some amazing relationships, Scott.
Well, I think that's why the documentary is so popular as well, too, because all of us have some type of Pez story as well, too. And I'm sure you see a lot of that at the Pez convention. So could you tell us a little bit more about the Michigan Pez convention?
Sure. We started in 2016. Like I said before, we work with a charity called Higher Ground at Lake Louise. We have a charity night. In 5 years, we've raised over $81,000 for charity. Last year alone, we raised over $30,000 to send those kids to camp who don't usually get those kind of experiences. Saturday, you know, and we have a game night on Thursday, a charity night on Friday, and then Saturday we open up to the general public. We have people come from all over the country, all over the world. We've got people coming from Israel this year, California, Florida, Georgia, New York, Texas. So we have a big draw of what we call regulars, you know, regular collectors that come. And then Saturday we open it up to the general public. It's going to be at Farmington Hills. And we don't charge an admission. It's not about making money. It's more about like showing, you know, the community what we do as a community. And it's like a big family reunion. It's just this, you know, in a world where, we have so much diversity, and we're having so many issues with that diversity. Pez community is a very come as you are community. Doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter how you collect, doesn't matter if you like the high end vintage stuff or the low end common stuff. You know, your whatever diversity you want to bring to the table, it's welcome in the Pez community. And a lot, you know, with the movie, if you watch it, it touches a lot about you know, mental health awareness. Sure. And you know, in this world, we all deal with some sort of mental health, you know, or issues, or at least know somebody who does. And just to have a community of people that accept you for who you are, it's just a great thing. And that's what I love about this community. It's just very come as you are type community. And we have a lot of people who come to the Saturday show and realize like, hey, these are my people. Like, I feel accepted. I feel, you know, that awkwardness that a lot of people have. It's like, hey, I'm accepted, you know, and it feels good, I think, personally.
Yeah, I love it. I love to hear that. And we always like to end with a library type question. We ask our guests for a recommendation. So it can be something that you're reading, watching, or listening to. Doesn't have to be Pez related. It can be Pez related though. So, but just something that you'd recommend to our listeners that you've either read recently, watched recently, or listened to recently.
Wow. The Pez Outlaw. No, I'm kidding. I'd love to see some libraries get some, have the Pez Outlaw. We just saw somebody had the Pez Outlaw in one of their libraries, a DVD copy of it, which I thought was cool. So I'm gonna answer it, but I'm gonna go a little old school, and I'm gonna say one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Love it.
You know, that was actually the first book I ever read cover to cover.
Yeah.
Never been a strong reader myself, but it was almost, you know, I mean, who doesn't love Dr. Seuss to begin with? But it was almost a sense of accomplishment, even at that young age, to read a book as simple as that, and be able to say, hey, look, I read it cover to cover. And then the other thing I'm reading right now, I mean, I'm reading the Bible. So, but that's just part of my testimony. So,
well, I love it. That was a great recommendation. And Jim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You can learn more about the incredible story by watching The Pez Outlaw on Netflix. And also, we do have The Pez Outlaw. As Jim said, some libraries have it on DVD. We do have it on DVD, and it's also available streaming through our Hoopla service as well, too. And if you are a Pez enthusiast, you can go to the Michigan Pez Convention coming to Ann Arbor from June 21 through 25 in 2023. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Don't miss another great interview. Subscribe to the Cattlecast podcast and share it with a friend.
Hey there, it's Tyler Reeder, but you can call me Ty the Library Guy. Did you hear the news? Capital Area District Libraries is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. They'll be hosting exciting programs and fun projects to commemorate this significant milestone, and you're invited to celebrate with them. Cheers to you, cattle. And here's to the next 25 years and beyond. To learn more about CADL's 25th anniversary and celebratory events, visit cadl.org/25. Until next time, I'm Ty the Library Guy.